Tonight, I want to share about something that's free. It's free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. But once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Now, I'm going to say this one more time. Get your minds going there a little bit. This particular, let's call it a quality of life, is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. For those of you maybe who are good at solving riddles, I left out one of the first word in this particular story, let's say, and that's time. You know, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. How many times have people said, I wish I had the time. I wish there were more time. I wish I would have taken the time. And on and on and on the story goes. And so we have to sort of define what exactly that or those things would have been that we wish we would have taken the time to do. Maybe it's as simple as just calling somebody on the phone and saying, hey, I love you, I miss you, I wish, you know, let's not let so much time go between us. Before we talk again or something along those lines. We've all kind of either said that or we've verbalized it, that we make the best use of our time. You know, there's a great verse in Ephesians chapter 5, and you've read it before. I'm just so thankful to be able to share these types of things with you because we're all part of this great family. And you know, many times I guess we feel like we're sort of preaching to the choir, that many of you know this, but it's kind of good just to hear it in maybe a little different way. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Well, I don't think there's any question in anybody's mind the type of days that we're living in. Now, realize Ephesians 5:15 was written in the first century, let's say, a number of years after the resurrection. And you can go back through this in your own personal study and document when the book of Ephesians was written and where it was written from and that sort of thing. But still the encouragement then and the encouragement now, because God's word, I believe, is truly timeless, says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Well, they were evil then, and guess what? They're evil still. See, so, you know, things have changed a little bit in terms of the modern conveniences and that sort of thing, but believe you me, there were issues and political upheavals and things that were going on with the culture back in the times of Jesus and in the years to follow that, you know, had we been living then, we might have said the very same things. But let's look at a couple other translations. How about the Phillips? Modern English. Live life then with a due sense of responsibility, not as men who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Make the best use of your time despite all the evils of these days. And there's a, oh gosh, let me see where this one is. Use the present opportunity to the full, for these are evil days. Be most careful then how you conduct yourselves, like sensible men, not like simpletons. Use the present opportunity to the full, for these are evil days. So don't be fools, but try to understand what the will of the Lord is. There's another translation. I don't see it in front of me here. It says, buy up every opportunity. You know, the opportunities that we have, even like this little saying, you know, time is priceless. You can own it, you can't, but you can use it. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once it's gone, guys, it's gone. You can never get it back. You can't go back and recover and have the opportunity to do something over again. But hey, we can learn from those things, and then we can become wiser in our perspective, walking hand in hand with God and one another to utilize the time that we have here that we've been blessed with to the best of our ability. I mean, I get it. We all fall short. We don't all use our time, you know, I guess responsibly or whatever. But you know what? We endeavor to take advantage of the time that we've been given, because we don't want to be unwise, that's for sure. You know, there's a number of different things that we can do with our time, but sometimes what ends up happening is people wonder, am I doing what I really need to be doing? And that kind of causes us to then try to search for something beyond maybe what we're currently involved in, and then it causes us to maybe lose the opportunities that are right there in front of us. And, you know, maybe you've heard this. I'd like to just read a brief part of it. It's about an African farmer. He had heard about other farmers who had made millions of dollars by discovering diamond mines. These stories got the farmer so excited that he could hardly wait to sell his own farm and go prospecting for diamonds himself. He was enthused by the idea of becoming an instant millionaire, so he sold his farm and began searching for diamond mines. Well, he ended up spending the rest of his life wandering around the African continent searching for these diamond mines to no avail. It seems this farmer wasn't as lucky as the others he'd heard about, and eventually, tired and depressed, the farmer threw himself into a river and drowned to death. Meanwhile, the man who had bought his farm happened to be crossing a small stream on his property one afternoon when suddenly a bright glimmer of colorful light caught his eyes. It was coming from the bottom of the stream. So he bent down to see what it was. He reached into the water and he picked up a stone, a fairly large stone, bright and beautiful. He paused for a moment, held it up, admiring it as it shined and glimmered against the sunlight. Then he took the stone home and placed it on the mantle over his fireplace as kind of like a decoration. Well, several weeks later, a friend of his came by to visit. The glimmering stone over the fireplace caught his eye, so he picked it up to get a closer look. As he felt the weight of the stone in his hands, he was in absolute shock. He looked at the farmer friend and said, "Do you have any idea what this is?" The farmer said, "No, I found it a while back and thought it was just a pretty piece of crystal." The visitor paused and said, You've just found one of the largest diamonds ever discovered." Well, the farmer had a hard time believing that. He told his friend that his creek was full of stones just like that one, not all as large as the one on the mantle. But the stones were sprinkled generously throughout the bottom of the stream right here on his property. The farm the first farmer had sold so that he might find a diamond mine turned out to be one of the most productive diamond mines on the entire African continent. The first farmer had owned, free and clear, what has come to be known as acres of diamonds, but he sold them for practically nothing in order to look for them elsewhere. Folks, the thing that we have, we don't have to go out looking for it. It's right here. We've got it. We've got the treasure chest of this Word of God. You know, in Proverbs chapter 2, let's have a quick look there. That is such a great story. I think I first heard that by an individual by the name of Earl Nightingale a number of years ago. And actually, I listened to it today, his rendition of it. It was just always so moving in terms of how many people, myself probably included, went searching for, let's just say, happiness, fulfillment, purpose, when all the time, if I would have maybe taken account of the resources that were available to me in the moment, I would have realized something completely different. Proverbs chapter 2, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the path of judgment, preserves the way of his saints." Then verse 9 says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, equity, every good path. When wisdom enter into thy heart, knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." So, you know what? We don't have to travel the world looking for the treasure. The treasure has already been handed to us. It's already been given to us. We have the greatness of the Spirit of God that's been given to us that we're now celebrating during this resurrection time, looking forward to when the Holy Spirit was first given on Pentecost. But you know what? We're experiencing Pentecost every moment of every day. What a tremendous value. I think Bob said on the front of his Speaking in Tongues book, one of the most undervalued realities of the Christian life. See, what have we learned to value more than the Spirit, our relationship with God, our desire to serve and to give and to just live our lives as a gift moving forward? I just always have loved this section in Proverbs chapter 2, which, you know, really is a great book about wisdom. But it says, if you search for it, if you cry after knowledge, apply your heart to understanding, incline thy ear to wisdom. If we seek it as silver, searches it for hid treasures, it says, we won't be disappointed. We're going to find the diamond mine. We're going to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I can't think of a greater treasure to ever find than to find the knowledge of God, to be able to go into the throne room of grace and to lay it all down. I'm telling you, these are some of the most valuable lessons in life that we have ever learned and will ever learn. That we are in a relationship with God. We've got the Spirit of God in Christ within us. We are more than conquerors. We can do all things. We have the ability to not be anxious. We can lay it down before Christ. When you talk about the impactful realities of life, believing God to bring prosperity into our lives. I mean, on and on and on it goes. I mean, we've been taught there's over 900 promises in God's Word. See, so we have a treasure chest here, a treasure chest. And that wisdom, that knowledge of God, then encourages us to continue down that path, making the best use of our time, our talents, our efforts. See, and that doesn't mean everybody's called to be an ordained minister. You're whatever it is you do, the best school teacher, the best doctor, the best lawyer, the best factory worker, the best at whatever it is you're doing. And if you're retired, then maybe you have to look for opportunities to serve in another way, to be able to give in the community, at a shelter, at a Red Cross, you know, who knows what opportunities await us. But the cry of our heart, like it says there, that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, you cry after knowledge, you lift up your voice, you have that inner craving, that desire to just understand more of God and God's ways and to just be led by Him. I mean, I can't think of a much more valuable thing in all of life. You know, I was reading today a couple of little things about some people who found some very, very valuable items at garage sales. Here's a good one. A guy in England, he picked up a watch at a flea market and paid $38 for it. It was later determined to be worn by James Bond in the film Thunderball. Well, guess what? It was a rare find because it was the first to be modified to include a Geiger counter to help the dashing hero detect nuclear radiation. And that's why in 2013, it sold at a Christie's auction for a large amount of $160,175. Hey, unsuspecting guy goes to a garage sale, flea market. He sees this watch, very cool. Pays $38 for it. Later on down the road, guess what? Has this huge, huge, huge value. But here's the, and there's a number of them here, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but some of these things are just very cool to find out. So here's a painter. He purchased in 2002 a set of glass plates that had images of Yosemite National Park printed on them. You know what? He was drawn to them, attracted to the composition of the photos. He paid $45 to take them home. You know, it wasn't long after that that the glass plates were it was found out that they were the work of the famed photographer Ansel Adams. At first, he sold some of the prints for only $7,500 until he later found out that the discovery was worth much more at $200 million. Guys, these are just objects in the senses realm that somebody has placed a high value on. Value is determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. How about us? Jesus paid the price, right? We keep the change. God must have seen a lot of value in us to go on through the whole process of having Jesus go through exactly what he went through, and the end result would be us, the family of God, the believers, this administration to which you and I belong, and thank God we do, because there have been previous administrations, and there's other administrations coming that are going to be, well, the ones coming especially are going to be a lot different than the age of grace we live in today. So we have value. This time we're living in has value. There are so many things that have value. So we don't want to be unwise. We want to utilize the things that we've been blessed with. Because guys, life is precious. Life is precious. Life is fragile. We've all experienced this in the last number of months, if not years. So let's take heed to the exhortation of the word. And just remember, time is free, but you know what? It's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. So let's take inventory, and then let's take whatever time we have when we're awake to invest it wisely in the things that we have already been blessed with. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy, the privilege, Father, of having this hidden treasure within us. And then the resource of this Word of God that is just so rich. And Father, that Word leads us even into a greater and deeper respect and appreciation for who you are and what you've done, and then shows us how we can have that intimacy with you, that we can hear from you. We can have a relationship, that word of faith just becomes the spoken word to our hearts and minds too, Father, so that we're not out there trying to figure it all out on our own and in our own strength, that we're in the relationship. We have strength. We have knowledge. We have wisdom. We have so many things at our disposal. And that we don't search around for the diamond mine. We realize the diamonds are right there, right in front of us. And we pray, Father, for your goodness continuing to be shown to us all. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who's soon to return. Amen. Amen.